This week on Indian Times, the Sequoia National Research Center is a unique facility dedicated to the collection, preservation, and dissemination of Native American expression in all forms. So what does that mean? Director Dr. Dan Littlefield says a librarian's decision to clear out a collection of Native American newspapers inadvertently led to this unique archive in Arkansas.
On a trip to Arizona in 1983 to use the Arizona State Museum collection, which I was familiar with, I had been out there the year before as a visiting professor in the history department. We went into the reading room to look at those papers, and they were gone. And so I asked the librarian, I said, what happened to those Indian newspapers? And she said, I had to weed them because we need the space. And I said, oh, no, where are they? And she said, well, I didn't have the heart to throw them away, so they're in storage upstairs. And so I asked her if she would be willing to let us bring them back to Arkansas so I could use them as the resources in my classes. I was teaching some Native Studies courses. She said, well, run around to the loading dock. And so I was driving a pickup truck with a camper on it, and they fill that with boxes of newspapers and periodicals. And that was the seed collection for what became, then we called it the American Native Press Archives. And now that collection of newspapers and newsletters, magazines published by Indian people is now the world's largest archival collection. We have more than 2,300 titles in that collection and hundreds of thousands of issues. Some of those, like the Navajo Times, for instance, we have practically every issue they put out from 1959 to the present. And we have summer runs of a lot of other titles. And then we have some rare little things, you know, that came out one or two issues and then died. But it's a massive collection. Then we have an archives and special collection, and these are papers and other collections that have been put together, personal papers and other collections that have been put together by Native intellectuals from whatever field they're in. So we have collections from artists, attorneys, journalists, poets, novelists, you know, whatever, librarians, whatever field Native people, professionals are in. We are the, oh, and by the way, in that, since you're Osage, you'd be interested to know that we have a major collection from Lewis Burns, historian Lewis Burns, mm-hmm. who gave us a lot of his research materials for works that he had done on Osage history and culture.
Is any of this available online?
No, not well. Some of it is, very little of it. We went for almost 30 years, at least 25 years, without really processing much of this. We were just collecting it. People could use it, but, you know, we didn't have it cataloged and for the most part and so on. And we're just now in the process of getting that done.
Do you have a lot of people that travel to come and visit your facility?
Yes, we do. We have them come from all over the world. I think the farthest we've had somebody come is from Australia.
So wow.
We get a lot of people who are working on PhD degrees, but established scholars. We offer a fellowship stipend, a small travel to collections kind of thing for researchers every year. And this year we're sponsoring four of those, three in history and culture and one in art, because we have an art collection that has in it close to 3,000 works of art by Native people in this country and Indigenous people in Canada. And we have a huge archive that has to do with this collection, art collection. We also have a major library collection related to the art. We have a general library that has to do with Native writing, history, culture. We have archival material from organizations like the Native American Library Association, Native American Journalists Association, and other groups.
I noticed also that you have papers pertaining to the prosecution of members of the American Indian Movement for a wounded knee, the second wounded knee.
Yes, we do have the FBI files on that and on microfilm, but we also have the paper copies of the appeal records of called the Loud Hawk case, the early prosecutions in the AIM movement of Moses Loud Hawk, Dennis Banks, Anna May Aquash, and some of the others. And those came to us from the attorney who was the appeal attorney, Kenneth Stern, by way of Paul DeMain, the CEO of News from Indian Country Communications. And Paul is on our advisory board.
That was Dr. Dan Littlefield, director of the Sequoia National Research Center. Here are a few upcoming Native events. March 16th will be the OKC Princess Honor Dance at the Heart of Oklahoma Expo Center in Shawnee, starting at 1 p.m., grand entry at 7 p.m. Also on March 16th is the 2013-2014 Miss and Mr. Indian OU pageant from 7 to 10 p.m. in the Meacham Auditorium in the OU Oklahoma Memorial Union. I'm Susan Shannon for Indian Times. For more information on this broadcast, go to our website, kgou.org.